and leave everyone with an action item list of things that they can do in their community, where applicable, to make their community, their family, their locality better. That's what the Solutionary Summit is.
It's Evie here. Welcome to EML Radio, where we are always talking truth. All of those things you need to hear that nobody else is willing to say.
This episode is brought to you by Kopow. Brighter food, brighter life. At Kopow, we allow you to treat yourself to not cooking. Incredibly colorful, powerful meals delivered directly to you that tastes like you're dining out, but at home. At Kopow, we believe that colors taste better. We only use fresh, seasonal, colorful ingredients packed with all the good stuff, so boring beige foods need not apply. It's nutrition that you can actually see. Nature provides incredible ingredients year-round. So if it's not in season, you're not going to find it in our food. So look, diets don't work. Food you want to eat does. Kopow meals are perfectly balanced, craveably good, and help you eat right without you even knowing it. So whether you are looking to take a break from cooking just a few times per week, need business or lunchtime meals, or you're a busy family who needs a combination of meals for parents and kids, Kopow has the perfect weekly meal plan for you. So just visit kopow.com. That's COPOW.com, and input your zip code to find out if Kopow meals are delivered in your area. Kopow, brighter food, brighter life.
Hello, truth seekers. Today's episode of EML Radio is sponsored by Strong Start. Strong Start is a new 90-day program designed to give you the opportunity through a structured program to start living your most fulfilling life. When it comes to eating, moving, and living, there are three critical things to develop in order for you to have lasting success. And those are self-discipline, knowledge, and accountability. So after devoting over a decade of my life to coaching in nutrition and fitness and mindset, I found myself losing accountability and self-discipline. Now I know exactly what it takes to create a fit body and a mind and a spirit to live to my highest potential. But over the last year, I felt myself just slipping, which is why I decided to develop the Strong Start program. Strong Start gives you absolutely everything you need to bring order back to your life, especially in a time of great chaos like we're in right now. It's designed over a 90-day period with three 30-day phases. So phase one is designed for you to really hone in on developing self-discipline. And then phase two allows you to start using that newfound discipline to incorporate more choices into your eating and into your movement. And then phase three, man, that gives you the runway that you need to put all the newfound discipline and knowledge into place so you can sustain this progress for the rest of your life. So Strong Start works by providing you a complete program guide with exercises for absolutely every fitness level so that you know that what you're actually doing is going to produce the greatest results. And it keeps you moving in a way that is safe and that's functional for your lifestyle. It also gives you the mindset exercises to ensure that you're shifting your mind into seeking the most from yourself every single day. Because all of the exercises and all of the nutrition advice in the world won't help unless you work on building that mental toughness first. It also provides you a hard-bound mindset and accountability journal so that you are writing down and tracking your progress every single day for those 90 days. And then lastly, the Strong Start Nutrition Guide uses my Colors Not Calories method in order to teach you how to eat so that you will never have to go on a diet again. Listen, Strong Start is changing my life and it is changing the lives of countless others. And it will undoubtedly change yours too. So head on over to eviefats.com and learn more about Strong Start. Just remember, it is never too late to seek out and create a better you, but you just have to start. Hello, my friends. Welcome back to another episode of EML Radio. So I am super stoked about today's show. We have a very special guest, a very well-known guest, someone that I actually have never spoken to personally before. And so I am really looking forward to this conversation. On today's show, we have a gentleman by the name of Maj Touré. Maj is a political activist and creator and founder of Black Guns Matter, and most recently, the founder of The Solutionary Lifestyle. So I have been following Maj for quite some time on social media and on his YouTube channel, and I invited him to be on the show because, for one, we share so many of the same goals in finding solutions to the world's problems and actually taking steps to create solutions instead of just constantly complaining about the problems. So I'm super excited and very honored to have him on the show. And I think you are going to just love this episode. So here we go. Well, thanks so much for being here.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
I'm really, really looking forward to this conversation. This show is, for one, talking truth, because it's all about just telling the truth. And like, funny enough, I had actually started this before the world kind of went mad about a year and a half ago. I've just always been a truth seeker and not tied to ideology or thinking I know everything. And I've constantly sought out guests that represent solutions to problems and aren't afraid to tell the truth. And I've been following you for quite some time on social media, and just obviously just loved everything that you had to say. And everything you're saying becomes more and more relevant every day. I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. And then when you recorded, I think you had put it on your social media, but then it was also on your YouTube channel, the right or the conservative response to the George Floyd mural being struck by lightning. I was like, that's it. I got to have this guy on my show. That and the fact that you have the solutionary mission. Like, I love it. So I'm going to kind of let you take it from there. Just tell us what you're all about and we can have some good conversation.
Yeah. In essence, the solutionary lifestyle is just about obviously solutions, but at the same time, getting to that solution from an empathetic way. When you, like you just brought up the George Floyd thing. Wherever you land on George Floyd, whether he was a bad guy in his past life, doesn't matter. We can't, when we apply the same tactics, when not legitimate, the same, you know, like, okay, they'll call some things racist, which may not be, but we're allowed to call things that actually are racist, like gun control, we're actually allowed to do that. So some, there may be some crossover, but what we can't do is start to, from a place of non-empathy, just attack people just to be ha, 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 ha. The other side was deifying or vilifying this person. We're just going to take the opposite approach and have no standard, have no principle. And I think the major reason for that is solutionaries deal in empathy. Hey, I understand why you're in the position that you're in. I understand it, even if I disagree with it.
Yep.
But when we don't try to get to the solution together, starting from a place of empathy, then presenting the facts as second, we just get people arguing. We just get people going back and forth, and it does not advance the cause of liberty for Americans or for humanity in that regard. So the solutionary lifestyle is pretty much three steps, and these are applicable to anything that you're doing. First step, empathy. Second, we come up with the facts and we share the facts. Once that person understands that you feel them and they recognize the empathy that you have, then you can share facts. If you put two before one, facts are cold. They I don't know if you even like me. So your coldness and no empathy for understanding, even in disagreement, if that's there, you lose that person. And then once we've established empathy and we've shared and dialogued about some of the facts, then we can come up with what a solution looks like for you and for me. And that solution may be, I get 60% of what I want. You get 60% of what you want. You get 70% of what, you know, out of the 100% of what you want. I get 40%. And I'm good with the 40% because we've created an alliance on at least this topic. And then other areas, you, whether you're left talking to someone on the right or right talking to someone on the left, you are more willing to than whatever the next issue is to at least lead in good faith. At least go, nah, this person's going to be honest. They're not pandering. They're going to be honest. Like, yo, I disagree with you here. But I care about you as a person. And since they care about me as a person, I'm more open to hearing them. And if I'm open to hearing them, we can get to the similarities a lot faster. So that's what the solutionary lifestyle is about. Again, first step one, empathy. Step two, we share the facts. And step three, we come up with that solution together. The solutionary summit down in Miami. I'm in Miami now, actually.
Yeah, I was super stoked to talk to you about that too, because my calendar might work where I can attend. And so I wanted to get lots of details on it from you because, like, this is right up my alley. And plus, it's just a whole new group of people and new faces and stuff for me just to experience. Like, I'm all about, like, none of us know anything unless we are willing to hear other people's stories.
Right.
Like, facts are facts, but like you said, stories, human stories, and sharing our human experience is the only way we actually learn.
Right.
Evolve, solve problems, get back to treating other humanely. Right. And so I'm kind of excited about it because it's like it's a whole new world for me that I would love to come down and experience. So I think I'm going to do that.
The conservative movement and the left movement, most movements potentially suffer at some point from you hearing the same faces all of the time. And the unfortunate part about that is the faces, they know the talking points that their base is going to agree with. They know the people that they've identified as the other.
Yep.
That does not advance the cause of conservatism. We're talking about right now, you know, and I bring this up a lot. I have a lot of friends and family that are law enforcement. And I say to them, you know, again, I've established the empathy with them and they've seen, you know, we've come up with solutions together. So we went through that process and I have conversations with them about, bro, you know that some of the job that you're doing is unconstitutional. You know it. Do you in your heart of hearts, talking to me, maybe not at the rest of the world, but do you really think that people should back the blue on that? On that. And, you know, maybe 2 years ago, they gave me more pushback. But even now, law enforcement officers are like, nah, man, we locking people up for going to church for this. Yeah. For this, you know what I mean? And so the conservative movement currently, especially in the so-called Black conservative movement, and I say that not as to separate us, but as an identify, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the fact is, and this is so not PC and nobody wants to hear it, and I'm a white woman talking to this Black guy, right? I'm going to say it that we naturally as human beings are wired to identify with someone that fucking looks similar to us. Right. Like, that doesn't mean I'm a racist, right? It doesn't mean I don't want to know, but I actually seek people out to know something more about people that maybe don't look like me, right?
Right.
But just saying that we're not different and that we won't associate immediately with someone that looks like us, that's just freaking ridiculous.
The funny thing is, it's a descriptive term to identify the person. If I'm explaining a person online, I can't say to somebody else, yes, this guy, man, I don't know his name. If they say, well, how tall is he? Well, I don't know how tall he is because he's on the internet. Right. You know what I'm saying? So the Black conservative movement, we're talking about since way back to Frederick Douglass. Mm-hmm. Currently, there's a highlight of maybe 3 or 4 super popular so-called Black conservatives, but they're just doing pep rallies. And again, this is not a diss to them. It just means you're not advancing the cause. You're talking, you're literally preaching to the choir. And your events are pep rallies. The Solutionary Summit is designed to, we have independents, libertarians, ANCAP, complete anarchists, Democrats, Republicans. We're going to struggle around some of these conversations on these things. Everyone that takes the stage at our event, the one thing that we all have in common is we want Americans and then humanity to do better.
Right.
How we get there is the area that we're struggling around, because most of those people from those different demographics politically, I have relationships with all of them. Some of the people coming to the Solutionary Summit have legitimate issues and gripes. Mm-hmm. We're going to try to make sure that we're solving these issues, even if it's just hey, these guys still aren't speaking to each other, but they agree on these points. And leave everyone with an action item list of things that they can do in their community, where applicable, to make their community, their family, their locality better. That's what the Solutionary Summit is. The conservative movement has suffered. And again, this is not a diss. Most of the people that I'm naming, there's a few people that I've been very blatant about. I think they're clowns. I've been very blatant about that. But there's other people, I just disagree with their approach and I disagree with their tactics, but I don't think that they're clowns. I think they're very limited. Mm-hmm. And that limited approach, fear of going into urban America, fear of the other, even if they skin tone is the same, you don't identify with urban America. So it's very difficult for you to do work there. This has been very limiting to the conservative movement, mm-hmm. because when you're saying things like Ahmaud Arbery deserved to die, in essence, and in essence, this hardcore back the blue, not only can I get urban America to let down some of their defenses in regards to actual good law enforcement, mm-hmm. I also, it's like, nah, I'm not leaving Democrats. If I got to be like that guy, Maj, you're cool. But if I got to be like that guy in order to be Black conservative, Black Republican, no, thank you. That limited thought process stalls our movement. I used to think that those people didn't know. Now, I'm fully aware that they are aware. They're just pandering to their small niche market. Even if their small niche market is 1 million people, America has 300 million people.
Right.
So they're catering to 500,000, a million people that are just going to continue to agree with them. They're going to create minions and it's going to create further polarization. They are interested in just their pockets. I'm not telling anybody to be broke. I'm saying get millions of dollars. I'm in Miami. I just drove past Star in the Star Island and I looked at a home. It's 1 acre. It's $32 million for 1 acre. So get your money. I'm not knocking that. But right. getting your money to me cannot come at the, and it doesn't have to. They're just very limited in their thinking. They think it has to come to with the stalling of the conservative movement, the stalling of the liberty movement, the stalling of saving the republic, because you just want to create people that will just buy your cool t-shirts, but aren't actually interested in expanding the message. If you expand the message to demographics outside of your demographic, you might be able to sell to 3 million people. Mm-hmm. And we don't polarize our nation further. Right. So the Solutionary Summit is a motley crew of individuals from different aspects and political leanings, but all have an understanding that they can stand on what they say. A lot of these dudes, you know, and it's the more popular guys, Brandon Tatum, can't stand on what he says in front of people that aren't in lockstep with him. Can't defend his positions because a lot of his positions are very statist. And it's not good to, the founding fathers to this nation were not statists. Right. They were not back the red coats no matter what. That's not what they were on at all. And so the Solutionary Summit is to inform people in the conservative movement that may unfortunately believe that this is what you have to do, that you don't have to get more libertarians to understand, like, yo, you guys got great ideas, but you don't have a political infrastructure to the extent that you should at this point. Right. To say, hey, libertarians, you may have some things in alignment with conservatives. You're just being fed the conservatives that aren't actually conserving anything. Telling our Democratic brothers and sisters, hey, this political party has made your community very fucked up for a very long time. And we're here to help that. Here's some expansive of thought to people that don't share the same ideology as extreme leftists, but they want your community, their community, to do better. The Solutionary Summit is a mixture of all of these types of people that want to advance the cause of defending the republic and strengthening and saving the republic. Because this path of polarization that we're on right now is not sustainable.
Oh no, this doesn't end well, right? Like I'm a huge history buff, right? So like I have a degree in criminology and sociology. It's like I trained our county SWAT team. So I've got this whole huge, I'm in fitness, have a huge association with law enforcement. I love history. Like I love the military. I love learning about it. And when we look at what has occurred in the world, and so many people have forgotten how recent history that really was, even going back to like 1930s Russia, right? It's like people don't understand how quickly being attached, overly attached to your ideology and making your fellow countrymen enemies, how fucking catastrophic that is for the world. And it goes quick. And the scary shit that we've got going on now is how fast it's accelerating.
Yep. We went from 2 weeks to slow to spread to show me your fucking papers.
Totally.
In less than a year.
Yeah. My husband's in medical care. He's a physician, private practice. I mean, 16 years of putting himself through school, turned down scholarships because he didn't want to owe the military anything, like took $160,000 out in student loans to pay for his education. He's 51 and just paid those off 2 years ago. Right.
Right.
So we've got a good story. Right. And now could be faced with mandates from the hospital, of which would fucking tragically end a career of now like 35 years hard earned and what he's truly passionate about, because he is healthy. We are healthy and he's going to be forced to do something against his will. We won't do it.
Right.
Like this stuff, like there has to start being solutions instead of ideology and I'm right and you're wrong.
Right.
And the one thing that we've got going on, I think you would agree with me, is that the big voices out there right now are doing nothing but just bashing the other side. It's the same fucking rhetoric every single day. Like, we already know you disagree with the far left, right? I get it, right? But just pointing it out just so that
it's like calling yourself a conscious hip hop artist when you're just talking about the system is bad. Cool. I'll give you one album with that. All right. Now we know. Okay, the public school was created to make worker bees. Okay, let's start homeschooling more. Okay, what was good in the public school, let's say 30, 40 years ago? Home ec, firearm safety, carpentry. Okay, let's implement some of those things in our community. Yeah. We don't need the government for those things. We do not.
That's the last thing we need involved, right?
Right. And so to get our communities to understand that and legitimately like apply it is the solutionary way. And so the solutionary summit, we got financial guys, we got Dr. Boyce Watkins, we got Kwame Brown, we got Angela Stanton King, we got libertarians like Eric July and Larry Sharp, you know, we got Kimberly Clasick. We have a motley crew of the rebels, like the people that may be polished, some may be rough around the edges, but we all have legitimate solutions for our specific, you know, area of expertise. And we want to share that with people. And that's September the 3rd through the 5th in Miami. The website is solutionarylifestyle.org. We want everybody to just come out, man. It'll start getting chilly in September in a lot of places in America. Miami will still be 80, 90 degrees. Come through. It's a 2 and/or 3 day event if you buy the VIP ticket. We got a Green Beret, my guy Akil from Taylor Defense Training Group, over 20 years military, Green Beret, Purple Heart, sniper, jumps out of airplanes, all of this stuff. Now he's a paramedic in Baltimore. You know, good guy. He's going to be teaching some of the people that that buy the VIP ticket basic survival stuff on a boat, you know, in the middle of Biscayne Bay. That's going to be really cool. Just want people to come learn, man. We got a good mixture of folks that want to give time and energy and information to what's going on. And we look forward to everybody pulling up. I moved down here for the next, I'm going to be here for the next 3 weeks or so, just to make sure that everything goes smooth. And I'll be able to engage with folks. If anyone in the Miami area wants to sell tickets and make money, they keep the money. They can contact us at the website. My bad.
There we go.
They can contact us on the website. And just want to make sure I put my phone on do not disturb. They can contact us on the website and we can chop it up about it. But we got some good stuff coming down at the Solutionary Summit.
Well, sweet. I was looking all through it the last couple of days and was like, I need to try to make this happen. It kind of worked out. My husband's on call, so I've got the weekend to myself. I'm like, you know what? I think I'm going to make it happen. Like, and I got to tell you, as back to the race thing, like as a white upper middle class, I'm a conservative woman, right? Mom, entrepreneur, wife. I'm really embarrassed by white women claiming this, I'm going to come save the black fucking community. Like, I mean, when I say that, it's like, it makes my stomach hurt. And so many white liberal women just fucking hate me, right? Because they're like, you're a racist. I'm like, I'm a racist? Like, when's the last time you went into Urban America and actually fucking did something?
You wouldn't go there, but you're going to post shit on your social media. Allow the community to, hey, if you guys need me, I'm here to help where I can. But I can't save a community if I'm not even a part of it. There's a difference between being from the community, regardless of your skin tone, right? You are in tune with the culture or subculture of that community.
Right.
If you can't, and if you can't, like, yo, bro, if we go to play golf, I'm not going to be able to help you very much. I know the rules of the game, but I'm not the best at golf. Right. If we go to play tennis, I'm nominally capable of having a slight game of tennis with you. That's something that I've exposed myself to. But if you ask me about soccer, you ask me about basketball, you ask me about badminton, I'm great. Volleyball, I played these sports in high school. I can help you there. For me to pretend that I gotta help the tennis or, you know, golf community to the same extent that I can help the basketball, badminton, or volleyball or soccer community, I cannot.
And that's such a good analogy, dude. Like, that is so good. So good, right? It's so fucking logical.
It's like, nah, bro, I'm not from the culture. I'd actually have to come in and learn a little bit first. And then if you ask me perspective, I could be like, well, based on what I know, the limited information that I have, X, Y, and Z. We, you know, I genuinely believe some of our brothers and sisters that are liberals, they do mean well. I'll give them that. Mm-hmm. I think more are unaware than the smaller amount that are aware that are just being assholes. However, we just have to have those real talk. Again, this tour that we're on, we got Angela Stanton King, we got Kwame Brown, we got Judge Joe Brown, and myself as a part RZA Islam, that are on the Angela Stanton King's Real Talk tour, that we're doing that at the Solutionary Summit, right? There just has to be a real conversation. There just has to be a real, from a place of, hey, you're asking, I'm telling you the truth, this truth. Understand it, receive it, and I'm not mad at you, right? And I'm not yelling at you. These are the things that we have to make sure that we're concentrating on. And all of these things and perspectives and approaches is what we're gonna do. Because we have to be able to say, like, bro, if I buy a $32 million house on a 1 acre, it's Star Island is not majority Black. It's white. I would be living in a white community. Okay. My community, the issues for my homeowners association and my issues are going to be different. Hey, man, you're having really loud parties 7 days out of the week. The homeowners association is going to be impacted by that. And those are going to be the issues in the community with which I live. And I would be defending white community issues because that's where I actually live, unless I made a concentrated effort, because I don't just forget, you know, Black community issues. And that doesn't mean that Black communities can't be affluent, right? Right. What this means is, if I'm still, I got a house in North Philly where I currently live, and I'm still tied to that community, I still can choose to impact that community with my resources in a positive direction. Those liberals, instead of trying to tell people what to do, should be using, and conservatives, if you want to help this community and say, hey, I have an agenda. I want this community to vote in a direction that's in support of the things that I am in alignment with, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Second Amendment, insert whatever thing. That straightforward honesty about the agenda and saying, hey, I'm not going to be in a community directly, but these are liaisons that are. How can I use some of the resources that I can afford to empower those people that have that relationships with, you know, those relationships with that community? Then those people become force multipliers. They need your resources. They don't need your mouth. They don't need you to stand there and, you know, so it's you know, now you may be white and be from this community. And you're like, no, I live here. I may not have a bunch of resources, but I have time and elbow grease to share because I'm in tune with that community. Explaining that. And allowing people to receive that viewpoint from an empathetic, loving, solution-based way is how we push the ball forward. When we retract from those communities, then guys like Larry Elder down-talk that community. Mm-hmm. Okay, you say you're the sage of South Central. I've never seen you in South Central the last 20 years I've been going there. So I don't give a fuck what you used to do. What are you doing right now? And if you're away from it, don't down talk. Don't attack it. You're making it more difficult for the people that are doing there to spread the conservative movement, because they look at you like, well, damn, I actually love the people in my community. This guy sounds like he just hates everybody that's there. So sharing this type of understanding and making sure that liberals, conservatives, independents, whatever, are finding the common ground, which is, hey, man, do you want America to succeed? Do you want Americans to succeed? Yes. Okay, cool. There's a varying degree of what that looks like. Let's find out what that looks like and the differences. Let's put maybe some of the bigger areas of disagreement on the back burner, not off the stove. We still gonna cook it. Mm-hmm. But let's put it on the back burner first, because this one, you know, do you want your child to think that men are women and women are men? No, I don't. Okay, cool. So we disagree on Trump or libertarianism, but at least we agree here. Let's put that on the front burner first, you know. Mm-hmm. And these are the things that, you know, again, at the Solutionary Summit, as Americans, we have to be very empathetic, be very tactical and strategic to make sure that we're saving the Republic. And that's the message that I, you know, I would, anyone that's listening and watching this now, if anything from this summit, you know, from this episode, even if you can't make it to the summit, I want everybody to at least take that with them.
Absolutely. Yeah. And this will, I mean, just introduce your cause and your mission and what you're doing to a whole new audience, which is another reason that I wanted to record this. And I just, like, selfishly wanted to be able to have a great conversation with you as well. Right?
Yeah.
We need more people spreading the word of being a solution and stop the spewing of rhetoric.
Right. Right. Awesome. It doesn't work. It does not work.
So good. Well, I definitely want to have more conversations in the future, because I really want to know your story and stuff too. I love personal stories. So it's like, I want to know more about your personal story.
Let's set up another one after the summit.
Hell, you got it. Okay.
Then I can tell you about how crazy that went and all of
Perfect.
That. So let's do it 100%. I appreciate you tremendously for having me on.
Got it. Thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time. Before we go, real quick, I always have my guests leave with one impactful truth that they want our audience to take away.
The impactful truth that I want the audience to leave with is, if you're in America right now, America cannot be here anymore as we know it. We've become comfortable, and that's a beautiful thing, that we've developed something. We live in a place that we have certain creature comforts. But this is an oddity in the rest of the world and world history. America, as you know it, could not be here anymore. And I want you to dig deep and ask yourself, am I doing everything or a chunk of things in my power to make sure that this republic still stands for myself, my family, my community, and my countrymen and countrywomen?
Love it. Thank you so much.